here today. We're going to get in the Word of God in just a minute. If you're ready to receive from the Holy Spirit, just let your heart be wide open right now and say, Lord, I want the best from you. Let your word come forth and speak to us, Lord, now in ways that will truly transform us. Because we don't want to leave here the same person. We know every time we listen to your word, we're becoming more and more like Jesus. So why don't we go ahead, let's bow our hearts. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we look to you now. I pray as your Holy Spirit comes and fill our minds, our hearts with more of you. I pray, Lord, we will truly decrease so that you may increase in every way. And I pray, Father God, as you show us how to live life, we know we will truly live the life that is full of your abundance. And we know, Lord, there's no limit to what we can receive from you as long as we're setting our minds, our hearts upon you. You want to lavish us with more and more of your blessings. So we thank you, Lord, knowing we have such a most awesome Father God that truly loves us so deeply. And so we honor you this day. We just pray your words will come alive. Come alive, Lord, and speak to us. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says,
Amen.
Praise God and praise God. Well, the title of my sermon today is Everyone Loves a Parade. Everyone loves a parade. I gotta tell you, isn't that the truth? You ever been to a parade before? Oh, isn't it fun to go to a parade? And I know, especially for children, it's such an exciting time for them. You know, I remember one of my most fond memories of a parade was when I was about 5 years old as a child. My mom and dad took me to a Christmas parade in my hometown of Calais. And I remember, I just knew that I would just have a great time, a fun time, because every year my dad would take us. And I remember, you know, when you go to these parades, you would be playing these Christmas songs, right? Like Santa Claus is coming to town, and you would hear like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman and all that. The blurring of all the musical instruments from all the high school students, right, as they're in their marching bands. And you hear the clanging of the cymbals, and this is going to be great. And I remember also, sometimes you would have these celebrities, like Don Ho. I remember Don Ho was sitting in one of those convertibles, and he's waving to everyone. And I remember, like, they would have, like, other celebrities, like Miss Hawaii, you know, and she'd be smiling and waving, and he'd be waving back at them. And I remember, it was just like the most fun time, fun-filled time, knowing that you could just watch all these colorful things and you just feel the excitement in the air. And you would have these colorful and nicely decorated floats with all different characters like Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I remember they even had like Santa's sleigh. And on the Santa's sleigh on this float would be a big chair and Santa Claus would be sitting on it, throwing candy at all the kids. I'd be trying to catch it. You know, my mom would get the bags and trying to put all the candies in the bag, and I'm like, oh, that was exciting. And then, you know, there are times when I'd be standing on the sidewalk and I'd be trying to look at everything, but you know, I'm only 5 years old, so I'm pretty short, right? And I'd be tugging on my dad's pants, Dad, I want to see it. And my dad would just hoist me on his shoulder. You probably see that a lot of parades, right, where the kids are sitting on the dad's shoulders. And I wanted to take a better look of all the things that are going on. And I got to tell you, the atmosphere in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday was probably much like what I just described. Because that's what Palm Sunday is. Today would be considered Palm Sunday. This is the day where we know Jesus entered into Jerusalem. And you know, probably lots of children probably sat atop on their father's shoulders, and others were probably running around peeping through their parents' legs, trying to get a better look of what's going on, pushing and shoving one another to get a better view. And what were they trying to look at? Well, they were trying to take a peep at the most famous and controversial person of that time. Who is that? Jesus Christ. Yes, he's passing by on a four-legged convertible. What is that four-legged convertible? A donkey. And this is how it all went down on a particular Sunday. Look what it says in Matthew 21:1-17. It says here, Now, when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." And all this was done that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet. And this is the prophet Zechariah. He said this 450 to 500 years earlier. And this is in Zechariah 9:9. It says, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Well, you may question, where does it mention palm branches? Well, I just want to let you know, if you want to write down on the side of your notes, John 12:13, John does actually mention that they were palm branches. And you know what? For Christians all over the world, palm branches represent victory. So, let me continue with verse 9. It says, "Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.' Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, 'It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.' Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant," they were upset, "and said to him, 'Do you hear what these are saying?' And Jesus said to them, 'Yes, have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise.'" Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. And in remembrance of this event, we celebrate what is called Palm Sunday. And it is called Palm Sunday because of the palm branches that were laid on the road as Jesus rode the donkey into Jerusalem. Sort of like what I have here. Palm branch. It was laid on the ground for Jesus to walk upon. And remember what I told you, it represents victory. And as they were waving it, they were saying, "Lord, come, we need you." And this very day, let's set our heart with that mindset, knowing that God is for us. And as we say, "Lord, welcome, the victory belongs to you," you know God will show you how to be successful in every area in your life. He wants you to be victorious. Amen? Because it celebrates Jesus Christ's entry into Jerusalem. And it happens on the Sunday before Easter Sunday. And we know Easter Sunday is next week. And this is the day that Jesus is crucified, on Easter Sunday. And get this now. The same people who cheered for him on Palm Sunday are now what? Jeering at him. I'll talk a little bit more about what Easter is next week. But here's the thing I want you to understand. As Matthew tells a story from what he just showed us from Matthew 21, you got to understand, he uses Old Testament quotations to bring home his points. And look in your notes. There are no less than five of them. Look what it says there. It says, about the donkey. Did you know that's mentioned in Zechariah 9:9? And the cry of the crowds. Oh, that's mentioned in Psalm 118:26. His entrance into the temple. Oh, that's in Isaiah 56:7. The nature of his house. Jeremiah 7:11. And from the lips of children. Oh, that's mentioned in Psalm 82. Why is that so significant? Why is that so important? You got to understand, from the Old Testament, these are prophecies. Prophecies that had came true. What these prophets said, it came to pass. And we know they were all fulfilled in this one glorious parade. And It seems to outline the course of our Christian experience. And we know, because all these prophecies came true, we know Jesus Christ is alive. So what do we learn from this? Look in your notes here. Number one, it says, Christ enters our lives. And just as Jesus entered Jerusalem on that day, on that bright springtime day, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ wants to enter into our lives. And you know what? Jesus, he comes riding on the Holy Spirit, and it's a grand event. When your heart is surrendered to God, he comes in. And he takes a hold of your heart, and your life is never quite the same again. Because when he does come with a victory shout. And you know that as you take in all that God wants for you, oh, you're going to experience one victory after the other. I want to tell you about this football coach. You probably heard of him. His name is Tom Landry. And before he died, he had many opportunities to share his testimony. And here's what he says. You know, as a youngster, he had said, if I can just be a part of a championship team, I would have everything I would ever want and need. And then as a high school player, he said, oh, if I can just play college football, man, I'm set. It's everything I would ever want. And then as a college player, he said, if I could just go on to play professional football now, I could have everything I need. And then as a professional player, he said, if I could just be on a championship team, oh man, I would have it all. Well, here's the thing. He reached every goal, but he said, everything and every accomplishment left me the same way after the enthusiasm wore off. Until, he says, he met Christ. He says, I found out for the first time what Jesus meant when he said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Because here's the thing, when you're in the world, you don't know Jesus Christ. You think it's all about stuff, about gaining more. The more I can get, the higher position I can get. Oh, that's what pleases me. That's how I get satisfaction in life. But when you truly come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you realize, oh, that's not important. What's important is that I know my Father God loves me, and I'm here on this planet Earth to serve Him and to serve others. This is the meaning of life. And so many people in the world are so confused. They question, what is the meaning of life? Why am I here? What is my purpose? Well, as believers, we know what our purpose is to serve the King. And if we can truly go through life just saying, Lord, I'm here to serve you. I am your servant. You're going to be so much more happier. You're going to be so much more content with life because you realize it's not all about me, myself, and I. I gotta tell you, when I made a personal decision for Christ, He entered into my heart. And He started to transform me from the inside out. I still remember that day when I made a decision for Him. I knew, I said, Lord, I belong to You. And I remember I had no desire to hang out in the bars with my friends and get drunk with them in the wee hours of the night. And I remember my dirty mouth. I had a dirty mouth, believe this. But here's the thing, I knew. As my dirty mouth was now being cleansed, my heart was also being cleansed also. That's what was causing my mouth to be more and more clean. I was very careful now of the words that came out of it. And my attitude of life just changed. I was more joyful. I was more at peace with myself and people around me. I knew something had happened to me that truly when people say Jesus Christ can enter your heart, it is real, my brothers and sisters. He truly does make your heart His residence. As you take in His word, as you live His word, oh, you know something's happening in your life. And it's all for the better. Because you know what? Prior to this, I thought I knew Jesus. After all, I attended Sunday church for several years. And I knew a couple of Bible verses. Maybe like five or six I actually memorized. I said, oh, that makes me a Christian. And I remember people would tell me, man, there's more to it than that. I said, are you judging me? I am a Christian, and you can't tell me that I'm not. I had that kind of stinky attitude. I know you heard me tell you this testimony before, but I really want to let you know, that's the kind of stinky attitude that I had. Because, hey, I was even attending Sunday school classes. You know, every Sunday I would go, but the only thing was, I was physically there, but mentally and spiritually, I wasn't there. Because I would go to church with a hangover. And, you know, I was in a daze when I would go to church. And I have to tell you, Jesus was not evident in my life. And when I told people that I was a Christian, you ever had this situation happen where you told someone, oh, I'm a Christian? They look so surprised and go, really? You're a Christian? That happened to me before. And it didn't help, you know, with the fact that there were times that when I told people this, I had a can of beer in my hand at a bar. Can you imagine this? I was deceived. The devil had put lies in my head saying, oh, you can be a Christian. Don't let people, you know, affect you knowing that they're judging you if they say you're not. And I bit into that lie. I realized, oh, there had to be change. And you know, my brother Walton was always there telling me, Ben, this is not the true Christian life. And he would tell me, he said, Ben, are you really experiencing the joy of the Lord, the peace of the Lord? Well, yeah, I know what that's about. But really, I didn't know anything about it. Because I would be miserable. I would be more than miserable. But you know, I remember one Sunday morning when a guest pastor came and gave the invitation to have Jesus enter into your heart. Man, I didn't question it. I said, I want that. I remember something just came over me. Now I know it was the Holy Spirit, because when I said, yes, Lord, I'm living a lie. I want to surrender my whole life to you. It became such a real moment for me right at that time, because I knew Jesus was entering into my heart. And suddenly, I didn't have the desire to do all the things that I once was doing, you know, hanging out with my friends. And they were upset at me, you know, because I just said, no, that's not for me anymore. I don't want to do that. And I remember I just started to have a really better attitude about what life is all about. And here's the thing, you know that something has changed you, because I knew for the first time, man, I want to go out and serve the Lord. I want to go out and do something that would make my Father God happy. And I remember people now, instead of saying, you're a Christian? People would say, yeah, I thought there was something different about you. What kind of thinking? You might be a Christian. Had anyone tell you that? Because they said, the kind of love you show is not the kind of love that I usually see. You must really have God in you. Oh, people say that to you, oh man, you know, you just want to praise God, because you know it's not you. You know it's the love of God that is so real in you that is coming out. And that's where I knew change was really starting to happen in my life. And it started getting better and better, because you know what? Jesus makes a grand entrance into your heart. He makes a grand entrance when you say, Lord, I surrender. I surrender, Lord. I want to give my whole life to you. And just how like Jesus entered into Jerusalem that very day, Jesus wants to make a grand entrance into your heart. Because as you let him, oh, you're changed. And you just want to love people. You just want to love God. And you just want to keep going on giving your best to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Well, look what number two here says. It says here, he induces thanksgiving and praise. He induces thanksgiving and praise. Matthew 21:10, this is what it says. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was what? Moved, saying, who is this? And as Jesus enter our lives, we want to shout, Hosanna, praise, glory to God in the highest. And you know what it's all about with praise? It's about giving thanks, because giving thanks is one of the highest forms of praise. One of the highest forms of praise. When we can just go to God and thank him in the midst of all that's happening around us, whether it be good or bad. You can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all I have. thank you, Lord, even though it seems like things aren't going my way, thank you, Lord, that I can praise you. Thank you, Lord, that I have the breath of life. That is powerful praise. And you can go to God and constantly thank him. You know, I got to tell you, once there were two little girls, and they were the best of friends, but one was a Christian and the other was a Jewish girl. And after Christmas, the grandfather of the Christian girl asked her, "So what did your best friend get for Christmas?" And this little Christian girl, in her own cute little way, she's only like 5 years old, you know, she responded by saying, "Oh, Grandpa, she's not Christmas," she said. "I am Christmas, and she is Hanukkah." Then she paused for a moment, smiled, and said, "But we're both Thanksgiving." Isn't that cute? And you know, here's the thing. We have different ways of thinking, you know, based on our values and beliefs, and even our denomination. Sometimes the way we perceive things or even how we think about what we believe may be different from others. But here's the thing. We are all called to give praise and thanks to our Father God. That's in us. God has created us to be a people of praise, a people who give thanks unto the Lord. Because when you give thanks to him, you're going to learn to be so content in every situation. Thanking him is the key element in keeping our faith strong. Please, brothers and sisters, I try to do it as often as I can. Just thank him. Constantly thank him for what he has done for you, what he has given to you. Because, oh, you're going to experience his presence when you do. Look what it says in Psalm 156. It says here, "Let everything and everyone that has breath praise the Lord." You guys got breath?
Yes.
Well, praise the Lord then.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You got breath? Praise the Lord. The psalmist says, praise him. He is worthy of our praises. Praise him from deep within your heart. Praise him that he is your Father God. We love him so much. You know, I want to tell you about this guy. His name is Friedrich Nietzsche. He's a German philosopher in the late 1800s. And this is what he wrote in his literature. This is his statement. He says here, "I cannot believe in a God who wants to be praised all the time." That's what he says. And he goes as far as to write, God is dead. Oh. I can't believe these are things that he was writing and people were reading it. And you know, although he was a son of a Lutheran minister, he became a self-declared immoralist. That's what he said. "I'm an immoralist." And in his writings, it showed that he had a total disbelief in God. And you know what? Not just that. You could read it in his writings that there was hatred towards God. You only could wonder what kind of experiences he had in order for him to have this bitterness towards God. And you know, this sarcastic statement suggests that in his mind, he's thinking God is suffering from some sort of inferiority complex. That why would you want to serve a God? It's all about his ego, that he wants all the praise. That's what he's thinking. But what Nietzsche failed to understand is that God desires our praise more for our benefit than his own. Because just think about this. We know what the Bible tells us about what pride can do to a person. It can bring forth destruction. And self-glorification only leads to a path of death, of self-destruction. And it is right and good and proper that we praise God, for he is glorious and he is worthy of all our praises. The more you praise God, you know what? The less you're going to praise yourself. Because you realize your God is that immense. Your God is that awesome. Why would you want to praise yourself? As you praise him, you're going to just experience the love of God so deep within your heart. And you're going to realize it is not about us. It is all about him. Because to refrain from praising God is considered to be a sin of omission. Because we know what omission is, right? It means to omit, to leave out. You know that's a sin? You know the very thing that pleases God, you say, "I don't want to do that." I don't need to praise God. It's a sin. It's a sin of omission. And when Christ was about to triumphantly enter into Jerusalem, we know his heart was saying, I am for you. He wants to come in and take a hold of our hearts so that we can save destruction from happening in our lives. Look what it says in Luke 19, 37, 4. It says here, when he came near the place where the road goes down, the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And look what it says there. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, imagine the teachers of the law telling Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. And what does Jesus say? I tell you, he replies, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. You cannot hold back the praises of God. As we go forth and speak the praises of God, the presence of God is magnified. If someone were to hold us back, I tell you, rocks and stones and trees would start praising God. You cannot hold back the praises of God. Especially, you got a testimony to tell the whole world of what God has done in your life. We cannot hold back our praises, brothers and sisters. Let it all out. Tell as many people as you can about the awesome goodness of our Lord God and King. Don't hold back, because this is what truly pleases God. And as you do it, we know God's going to fill you up more and more, because God's glory, as it comes, it demands a response. You know, the presence of God is so abundant, so magnified in your life, it demands a response. What is our response? Praise him. Love him. Give him all the glory. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I want to read to you this modern day psalm. It's written by this pastor, and he's a biblical scholar. His name is Jeffress Kent Peterson. And the title of his psalm, it's called, Out of the Dust and Ashes of My Disappointment, I Will Praise Your Name, O Lord. It's a long title there. But I want to read it to you. When I read it, it really touched my heart. I want to read this to you. He says here, beautiful are the praises that arise through the veil of tears, which give thanks to God in the midst of sorrows and declare his glory through the valley of grief. Beautiful are these praises and precious in his sight. Like fine wine and scented oils, they gladden the Father's heart. Beautiful are those who ascend the mountain of prayer with bruised knees and bleeding feet, who are determined to give God honor no matter what the cost. They are true warriors who serve God in spite of loss and who love him for who he is, not simply for his benefits. So will the Father reward them that seek him through trials and troubles, who are not dissuaded by the cost. With such, the Father is well pleased, for tried and tested, they prove they love him more than life itself. Beautiful are the praises of those who suffer. They are a sweet fragrance rising up to the Father's mouth, a beautiful garland for the crown of Christ. To the eyes of the Lord, those who sorrow and continue to praise are diamonds and sapphires in his crown of gold. The Lord is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. You know, the author of this psalm, he was interviewed, and this is what he told the interviewer. He says, this psalm was written at a time when all hopes of answered prayer and fulfillment in life were gone. I decided to praise God anyhow. I sensed the Lord was pleased. What purer praise can there be when by it we have no hope of gain? We have no ulterior motive but simply to praise him because of who he is. When all self-interest is gone from our praises, these praises must surely be acceptable in his sight. No ulterior motive. That's what we gotta do. We do not focus on the benefits. Yes, God gives us benefits, but we say, Lord, I just wanna love you. I just want to praise you. We can go to him with this kind of heart. Oh man, can you just imagine the smile you put on our Father God's face? Just say, I'm here just to praise you. Look what it says here in Revelation 4:11. Revelation 4:11. You are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and praise. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Wow, you are worthy, O Lord. Can you tell our Lord God and King, you are worthy of all my praises? Well, let that be something that's deep within your heart that you're expressing to God every single day. Saying, you are worthy because you created it all. All that I have comes from you. Just go to him like that and give him that constant praise. Well, look what number 3 here says now. He cleanses us and makes us people of prayer. And you know, the first thing Jesus did, having entered into Jerusalem, what did he do? He went straight to the heart of the city, where? To the temple, and began throwing things out. He said to the sellers, what did he say? My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers, a den of thieves. Yes. And you know what? Jesus, he does the same with us. He's going right into the center of our souls, right into our hearts. He overturns, he renovates, he rearranges our lives if we let him. If we say, Lord, my life belongs to you. He then says, your life is a den of iniquity, which is sin, right? But says, Jesus says, I want to make it into a house of prayer. Can your life be a house of prayer? Well, look what it says in 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says here, or do you not know that your body is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. And what do you do in a temple or in a church? What do we do? Like, we come here on a Sunday morning, what do? We worship, we praise God, what do? We pray, we get in the Word, we learn from what the Holy Spirit reveals to us. The question is, purify. In this body, do we give worship and praise to God? Do we use this body as a means to give him all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise? Are we living a life that is truly holy and pleasing to God? Because remember, this is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we got to live according to what the Word tells us, because that will be a true indicator if your body, if your life is truly a temple unto the Lord. Because no matter how bad you think you got it, you think, oh, my life really stinks. You know, I heard people tell me this, oh, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. My life is really bad right now. You know that God, he can turn it around. You go to God with a dependence that you know that he can make things happen in your life. He will come through for you. He says, I will make it come to pass. If you trust in him, he says, I promise it will be turned around. If you just hang on to me. You know, I got to tell you about this thing. It's considered to be one of the world's most stinkiest things. And, you know, here's the thing, though. Under the right conditions, it can be turned into the world's most attractive scent. You know, Ken Wilman, this guy, his name is Ken Wilman, he learned all about this after his dog became overly interested in what looked like a rock that was lying on the beach. And the dog was kind of looking at it, sniffing at it, and he was kind of curious. So the dog picked it up, he sniffed it again, and he dropped it. And he went, well, after a bit of research, Wilhelm learned that the stinky object, you know what it actually was? It was whale vomit. And it's called ambergris. And here's the thing, it is quite rare and is highly prized by perfume makers. And under the heat of the sun and when the daylight comes upon it, the pungent ambergris turns from a horrifically offensive smell to the most pleasant of smells. It's so sweet, so, oh, just tantalizing to your senses. And here's the thing. Our French dealer has already offered Willman over $50,000 for this 7-pound chunk of whale upchuck. Can you believe that? $50,000 for whale vomit. Well, what's the purpose of me telling you this? Well, when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we know transformation happens in our lives. We all know this. We can attest to this, right? We know the reality of what God can do to a human being's life when that person has truly surrendered to Him. Because alone we cannot change. I want you to understand this, that if you try to become what God wants you to be all on your own, you're thinking, oh, it's just through my flesh I can do it, forget about it. You can't do it. It's by walking in the glorious light of His Son, Jesus Christ. As we worship, as we pray to Him, as we seek and serve Him, that's when transformation will come. And then we become the most pleasing of aromas in the nostrils of God. God will take a sniff of you. Oh, my child is so sweet. That's what it's about. When God can do it. Look what it says in Romans 12:2. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and what? Perfect. And realizing it is God. It says, God that will transform you. And you know, I know so many times people come to me and they say, Pastor, I quit. I said, what do you quit? I quit with my relationship with God. I quit being a Christian. I go, why? And they tell me, it's too hard. It's too hard living a life, that the kind of life that God wants me to live. I can't do it anymore, so that's it. And I tell them, why are you doing it yourself? That's my response to them. Why are you doing it yourself? Because you need God. It says God will transform you into a new person. Not you. God will. And I hear so many times people tell me about their struggles, about, you know, how the impure thoughts come and all that. And when I tell them, pray to God and ask for help. Do it every day, as often as you can. Ask God to help you. Tell Him you're disgusted with this sin. And you don't want to partake of this sin anymore and ask for His help. I gotta tell you, I hear so many testimonies, people telling me, oh, you know, it used to be that, you know, as soon as they lie down, you know, the impure thoughts come. But as they start seeking God, as they start trusting God, they believe that God can help them. It's just like they lie down and they only think pleasant thoughts. And sometimes there'll be no thoughts. And they're like, oh, wow, God is helping me here. It's real. I've experienced that in my life. When you go to God and ask for help, He will transform your heart. That's where it begins. And then your mind will start thinking things that will please Him. Pleasant thoughts. Thoughts that bring forth life. Brothers and sisters, remember, we can't do it on our own. I can't do it on my own. I need the Holy Spirit of God to come in and touch my heart daily, constantly, so that I will do the things that will please Him. Amen? Amen? Well, I want you to take a look at the next verse here. It says in 1 Peter 3:21, it says, baptism is not an outward cleaning, but saves us through an inward cleaning. It is an appeal to God for a good conscience and ask God to take away the guilt of our past sin that Christ paid for, wiping our inner slate clean. I want to tell you, next week, Saturday, we're going to have baptism. And we've got 14 people on the list. Praise God. And actually, make it 15. There was another person that said they want to do it. So, 15
make
people.
Make it 16.
Oh, 16 people. Praise God. And praise the Lord. And if you want to sign up, I would tell you, do it. Because if you already made a decision for Christ, your next step is to be baptized. because it tells us here, it is not an outward clean, but saves us through an inward cleaning. You're telling the whole world, because you're so excited knowing that you're dead to yourself and you are alive in Christ. Why wouldn't you want to tell everyone about the good news that is in you? That's why it's so important. It's a public declaration to tell everyone, oh, I'm alive in Christ. Jesus Christ is alive in me. That's why, please sign up. You know, if you haven't, if you already made a decision for Christ, please, the next step is to get baptized, because you want to just tell your Father God, oh, I'm so glad that your Son is alive in me. Amen?
Amen.
So it's going to be Saturday, next week, 4 o'clock, all right? We're going to meet the same place where we usually meet, but then we're going to walk down to Alamona Beach by the first bathroom, the restroom in that area. That's where we did it last year, too.
So it's after the service, yeah?
After the service. Short service. I'm going to tell you about it afterwards.
So it's maybe about 5 o'clock then.
No, it's going to be a short service where we usually, and then we're going to walk down. We might not set up chairs or whatever. We'll talk more about it. But yeah, next week, 4 o'clock, we're going to have baptism, right? All right, now let's go into number 4. It says here, he draws forth perfect praise. And you may be saying, wait a minute, Pastor Ben. Then you just talk about praise. Why are you talking about praise again? No, look what it says there. Perfect praise. Look what it says here in Matthew 21:6. It says, and Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfect praise. And this is what Matthew reminds us at the end of the passage. He says, from the lips of babes and infants, God has ordained perfect praise. And you kind of think, what does that mean? And you know, I read through like a whole bunch of different Bible commentaries, and I was seeking the Holy Spirit about this at the same time. And I just came upon this one particular commentary from this Bible commentator that really just touched my heart. I want to read it to you. This is what he says, how he explains what it means to be a babe or infant that have perfected praise. He says here, hereby, babes refer to nursing infants or young children who are not yet able to speak plainly. And what normally comes out of an infant's mouth? Crying, right? When they're hungry or thirsty, or when they're making joyful noises, when they're delighted or happy, they are spontaneous. They never wait to tell others their need or their excitement. That's true, right? They just do it whenever and wherever they are. No second thoughts for feelings or inconvenience of others, whether in the homes, the shopping malls, the cinemas, or the concert halls. And then he goes back to the verse we just talked about. He says, but when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that Jesus did and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. They were upset. They were angry. And the chief priests and scribes were upset at the spontaneous praise the children gave to Jesus in the temple, the holy place of God. In response to their lousy response, Jesus reminded them about Psalm 8:2. It says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. When they shouted, Hosanna, the adults and the children were actually saying, save now, I pray. Because the Hebraic word for Hosanna, it actually means a cry for help. The literal translation is, save now. With that now comes a heart of urgency. Now. We need a Savior now. Save us from destruction. And that Greek word, now, means now. It means please. Now. Great sense of urgency. And you know, it says here, on that day, the people were actually crying out aloud for help, praying that God would deliver them from all their hurt, their sorrow, from all their shame. And it says, praise should be a reflexive act, just as a baby's cry is. It is unthinking, it is instinctive, and spontaneous. Praise is an act of faith, knowing that our Heavenly Father is near, And he will respond to us and help us quickly. We do not need to use flowery languages or fully structured sentences with all the right grammar. God desires us to speak to him straight from where? Our heads?
Our
hearts. Nothing formulated or superficial. He just wants you for who you are. And all of a sudden, it made sense. That's what he desires. When we have problems, when we have situations where it just seems like it's crushing us, do we go, wah? Or do we go, Hosanna, save me, Lord. Save me now. That is from the heart. You don't have to make like a baby and go, wah. Go to him. Save me now, Lord, save me. That's praising him. That's what the children were doing. They were spontaneous. They didn't have to think about it. That's what we should do when we know we're in a situation where it seems like it's just getting worse. Go to him first. You know, we can go to other people, to other brothers and sisters in the faith, in Christ, but go to him first. Hosanna. That's what he wants to hear from us. Because we're saying, we're depending on you, Lord. We're believing that you can bring forth the victory in our life. You know, this Palm Sunday, it's a wonderful day to start this process by looking at what's in our heart. Is there anything that we need to let go of? Anything that we know that is kind of causing all this confusion that's happening in our lives? Does it seem like there's chaos happening in your life? Just like in the courtyard of Jerusalem's temple when Jesus entered it and he had to empty everything out. Thing is, we gotta let Jesus be the one. So let him help us remove anything that is not of God. He will help you. You're never alone in this. He will help you become the person he wants you to be, because Jesus is ready to make a grand entrance into your life. If you're ready to cry out, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! He will help you to conquer all your bad habits, if you have any. He's ready to turn your life around because he wants to make your life a house of worship, a house of prayer, a house of praise. Can you say, Hosanna, Hosanna, save now, Lord, save now. And you drop it, Lord. Lord, Hosanna, praise you, Lord. As he walks onto this palm leaf, experience his presence, because this is for him. You're saying, Lord, I want to give of my best to you. And as you please him this way, you're saying, Hosanna! Just let his presence wrap around you. Or let his love just fall upon you, brothers and sisters. I want to conclude by playing this song for you on this video. It's called Hosanna. And I just ask you right now, as we listen to this song and as we watch the video, let the presence of God just come forth. Let him take a hold of your heart, brothers and sisters. Because he is for you. He's never against you. Amen. All right, brother.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. I see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith. Selfless faith. I see a near revival stirring as we pray and seek. We're all on our knees. We're all on our knees. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I go from nothing to eternity,
a clap offering. Mm-hmm. Hosanna. Hosanna. Save now, Lord. Save now, Lord. Save us, Lord, from destruction. Save the world, Lord. We pray, Lord, many hearts will be touched, Lord, as we go forth and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Save now, Lord. And the lyrics that we just read, as I go from nothing into eternity. Yes, Lord, we go into the eternity, into the presence of God. All we have on this planet Earth, we leave behind. All that we are, we leave behind. When we're standing in the presence of God, we know we're going to have a new body. our spirit lives on with Christ forever. That's the hope we have, brothers and sisters, knowing that Christ promises that he will be forever with us. As we are for him, he is for us. And if you know in your heart there are things in your life you need to let go, you just say, Hosanna. Save now, Lord. Save now. Save me from self-destruction. Save me. Save me, Lord, from myself. God, he will come in. He's going to touch your heart. You're never going to be the same again. You just got to come with a heart that is ready and willing to be surrendered fully to him. Let's go ahead and bow our hearts. Let's bow our heads. Let's come before our Lord God. Father God,
hi.
We thank you, Lord, for this message that was spoken today. And truly, Lord, we need you.
Oh,
we can't imagine living life without you, Lord. We need you, and we thank you, Lord, that you are our Savior, and you come to save now. Just pray right now. If the message has spoken to you, the scriptures, the word of God has spoken to you, and you know that you may have been a Christian for quite a while, but you know that you haven't been living a life that has been true to God. Know that God says, I've come to save you now. Because I want to pour out my blessings in your life. I want to let miracles, one after the other, happen in your life. But you must have your heart fully surrendered to me. If you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, and you're saying, Lord, I'm more than ready. I am more than willing to surrender all of me unto you. Can you simply raise your hand and say, that's me. Lord, save me now. Save me now, Lord. Save me now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Just keep your hands up and say, that's me, Lord. Save me now. Hosanna. Can you just say that to him right now? Hosanna. 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 Keep your hands up. Let's pray. Father God, our hands are raised up to you because we need you, Lord. Oh, just continue to show yourself strong in our lives, Lord, because we need a Savior. That's you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you have come to save us, Lord, from destruction. We know the devil, he thinks he can keep us in trap, but we know you already came to save us. We are victorious in every situation. We are victorious in Christ. With our hands raised up, Lord, we say, Lord, Hosanna, Hosanna. Oh, Lord, save us. And I pray, Father God, as our hearts are wide open to you, Lord, I pray you're going to continually fill us up with more and more of you. Oh, let there be an overflowing, Lord, of your goodness to enter into our lives, that we will go forth and proclaim the gospel of Christ, that Jesus is the good news. And I just pray, Lord, as we live our lives fully surrendered to you, we know you're going to increase in every way as we decrease. I pray, Lord, that you will just fill us up, Lord, with your power right now, in Jesus' name. I pray, Father God, you're going to fill us up, Lord, with your goodness. You're going to fill us up, Lord, with your strength. You're going to fill us up, Lord, with your miracles, your blessings. Father God, let it be overflowing, Lord, of your love, your peace, your joy, so that the whole world will know that Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive in us. I thank you, Lord, for the most awesome work you have started, my brothers and sisters, and what you will continue to do until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. We live our lives fully surrendered to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, Amen. Put your hands down. Now for some of you, you may be saying, Pastor Ben, I heard about people talking that I can have a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, but what must I do? How do I get started? Oh, it starts with us. You must come with a heart that says, Lord, I surrender. I want to give my life to you. And if you know the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart and saying to you, go to God now. Don't resist. because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And as you give your life over to God, God, He will come in. And He will show Himself strong. And you're never going to be the same again because your heart will belong to Jesus Christ. And if you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, just say yes to Him. Say yes to Him because He wants to take your life. And He wants to make you more. More like Jesus. And if that's you, you're saying, I want to say yes to Jesus Christ. I want to accept Him into my life. I want to make Him Lord over my life. Can you raise your hand and say, that's me. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Say, I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, you can put your hands down. Why don't we pray this prayer together? Let's pray it out loud. Let's express this from our heart, knowing that as God knows that we are serious, that truly we are sincere about this prayer, He will come in. There's no doubt of that. Let's pray it out loud. Say, Father God,
Father God,
I need you, and I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. Who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, He rose again. He lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God. So that everyone can hear me. So that I can hear myself. And so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord.
Jesus Christ is my Lord.
I live for Him.
I live for Him.
Father God,
write my name
in your book of life. I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, Amen. Let's all stand. Let's give Him.